this period of time is a period of inquiry. I'll take 2 or 3 minutes to give a little outline to you of the period of time. If you do need a interpreter, one of the good staff is at the back and will kindly translate from the English into the Hebrew. So we didn't put the bright lights on up here, so words are more important than sight. Anyway, I'll take a couple of minutes to give the general outline of the time. As you see here, there is at the moment a spare cushion up front, and this is an invitation to anyone who might wish to come to have some dialogue, discourse with myself, some inquiry. And the period of time with the inquiry may just be very specific or general kind of questions. The question of questions may have arisen during the day. So from the instructions, from the sitting, walking meditations, from the talk yesterday evening, and much else. And sometimes in the retreat environment, there is something moving around inside of us which we feel might need to be addressed or attended to. And again, you're very welcome to come and sit and take the cushion here. So if there is anything that you would like to explore, and sometimes we'll answer the question, unless it's too difficult, of course, I'll avoid it. And sometimes I'll turn the question back to the person a little bit, but some exchange gets underway. It might last for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I'm not sure what the record is over the last 2 or 3 decades, but I think one went for about an hour and a half, etc. But that's rare, mercifully. And at any time, the person or myself can say thank you, either of us, to bring it to a close, any time. Then there'll be a couple of shared minutes in the silence together. After a couple of minutes, I'll extend another invitation, and then another person may wish to come and to speak. So the intention, always so important in most areas of life, and here the intention is hopefully to contribute to some insight and understanding for all of us without exception. Therefore, not just for the two of us with the privilege of being up here, but for everybody in the hall here. And as we know with life, the intimacy that we share, sometimes one person's voice about something is actually our voice. One person's concern is our concern. While you are sitting and listening, please remember the fullness of listening. And as the Buddha commented a few times, he says, one places one's mindfulness all around. That means outwardly, as he said, and inwardly. So as we listen, in this case, mindful of two people engaged in a communication together, please remember to listen as fully as you can, and also inwardly as well, to really notice and pick up on any kind of responses that take place as you listen. So they may vary in the space of a few minutes. So sometimes the inner response is hopefully some interest and curiosity and energy and attention to part of the inner dynamic. But sometimes as well in the listening, of course, can be also some reaction, agitation, being judgmental, bored, the most tedious thing you've listened to since the government. And so again, any government here. So again, just picking up on the any responses. How we respond to what we listen to is of vital importance on this planet for men and women on this earth. Yeah. So, as I said, there's an invitation for anyone who wishes to come. The cushion is there, and sometimes they... this is the recorder, isn't it? Yeah. So, just to give you the health warning, that if it's okay with you, and I will certainly check, of course, that it's okay with you, that it is recorded. If you prefer not, and there are often many very good reasons why you don't want something recorded, it will not be recorded. There. The health warning is, if it is recorded, it is in the, as we say in English, the public domain. Anybody could ask to listen to it later. Your mother. Even worse, your therapist. Your best friend, whatever. So all have access to. But also some people like it to be recorded because she or he also likes to listen again. And sometimes the response is different, of course, later on. So this is the intention with regard to the recording, but I'll check with you. Anyone who wishes to come and take a seat, and there's no limit to what can be explored. It's the life is a vast open field with infinite potential. You feel free to come and touch upon anything you wish to. Yeah. Oh, that's fun. They can ask in Hebrew, apparently. It's going to be a little difficult for me to answer, but you can ask. All right. And after that, what happens? All right, thank you very much. Here and now. Yeah. So, with the recording?
I don't care because we are all human.
That's true.
Anyway.
All right.
No, anyway.
Okay, let me just. Okay. Yes.
My question is...
Can you... sometimes the microphone needs to be fairly close because of the good people at the back of the hall. If you can...
My question, why it is weird?
Sorry?
It is very weird to hear me myself from...
I didn't catch the first words.
My question is about love with the family that I didn't choose.
Love with the family
that
I
came
did,
from.
That you came from, you didn't
yes,
choose.
Yes, not
came
the
from.
One that I chose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is behaving. It is not about the emotion, the love itself. It is about the behaving. I would like to be a good person, but I also feel very bad the way my father treats me. He laughs at me. I'm very weird in my family. I'm considered as a... unsuccessful, which is not true, of course, but it is the way they treat me, and for the 50 years birthday, I decided that I don't want them. I asked my children to take responsibility of their relationships with their grandfather, and I stopped. He wasn't invited to the seder. He wasn't invited to the birthdays. That's it. And it is a good gift for me, because I can't bear the way he talks to me, the way he treats me, but I also feel sorry, of course.
Hmm.
So the question, I can't bear it when he treats me, when he laughs at me, and sorrow.
Right.
So it is not about the love itself, it is about behaving. But I'm not looking for an order from you. I'm looking for opening this question of how to treat.
Yes. So if I get the picture, and then I will ask. The picture I get at the moment is that listening to you, your father is in various ways judgmental towards you. He criticizes you, puts you down.
Me down is the yes. How do you say booze?
Contempt. Yeah, contempt.
Yeah,
yes.
It doesn't feel good. No. I'm sick of it.
No. And having listened to that for a number of years, you said you were 50. The current position is that you cut him off.
Yes.
Is your mother still around?
No, but when she was dying, it felt so relief that it gave me this idea. It was surprised because I felt so relief when she died. Then I thought.
Why was there relief?
Because she was very manipulative.
And how recent is that, your mother's death? How long ago?
About 4 years.
About 4 years. Your father is... I just want to get the picture clear. Your father is now living alone?
With his wife, but he doesn't have to do with it. It is not a problem.
No.
No, no, not at all. It is not about the outside conditions, my question.
No. It is.
He's 89, so I don't.
But it's the outer condition is called your father. It is about the outer condition.
Yes.
It's called your father.
What? Yes.
I mean, that's the outer condition. But there is the daughter. And you feel at the moment the resolution.
Resolution?
The answer. Is to cut him off. What do your children say?
They hate it, but I ask them to be considered. They are grown up. They can visit him. They do.
What do they say about their mother cutting off the father?
My daughter asked me to invite him next Saturday.
Did she?
Yes.
And
I told her she doesn't know how it feels to be so
put down.
It has to be for me, because it is okay to tell my children how I feel. They are over 20. So it is not the question.
No.
The question is, what do I choose?
You asked the question as well, perhaps the more important one. What is it to be a good person?
That's the problem. I mean, an ideal thing also.
Yeah, of course. What is it to be a good daughter?
I'm not only a daughter. That is the problem.
You are, for your father.
I
that's all you
only
are.
His daughter, but I'm only Tamar who can't hate this behaving. So.
No. But there is a common, and in this case painful, dynamic of the father constantly putting down the daughter. Daughter says, I've had enough of this. He can't come to the house. He can't come to the Seder. I am withdrawing. Is that an answer? Is this the answer to the conflict?
You mean that I decided not to meet him, so is the conflict over?
Yes.
No, because sorrow rises.
So because?
Sorrow rises.
Sorrow arises.
And if he comes, anger rises. Mm. So the inner conflict is not finished.
No.
He's not really dead. He's alive in Tel Aviv right now. So it matters.
You'll be sending. You'll be giving him a recording of this.
He will never listen to it that I go to. It is really safe.
Okay. just a couple more questions. He's 89. How, in general, are his mental faculties?
He's healthy.
He's healthy.
And wise.
Except with his daughter.
He's wise. No, it is not with his daughter, we talk about emotional life. Mm. But he's wise. Intelligence.
The reason I say this, some people, at any age, but when they get old and sometimes in the senior years, lots of old history can arise. And that history can show itself as disappointment, feelings of failure, putting out blame, and very easily it lands on a close family member. In this case, you. Is what he is saying more about him, or is it something about you?
I feel that he doesn't accept himself.
Right.
That yeah. I know it doesn't help me.
Exactly.
So I've already thought about it.
Okay. Just to get it clear here. He puts you down. You know it's not true.
I know in my mind.
You know, exactly. And still the blame comes to you. But you know he's not accepting himself. There's pressure. There are projections. And they're landing on you. They're going to you. But you know it's not about you.
I know it when I think about it. I mean.
But you don't know it down here.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yes.
If you know it deeply, it's not about you. It's his problem. And if it's not about you, what's the problem? It's about him.
When a child in my kindergarten behaved like this,
yes.
I don't feel insulted at all. I know it is not me.
Okay.
When it is my father, I'm very insulted. I understand what you say. I describe myself.
There's a gap. What will help you to see?
Gap, yes, between the thoughts and the feeling.
Mm. What will help you to see that it's just an angry little boy with a kindergarten mind who is called your father.
And do I have... And also I feel that I don't know what helps him now, but there is also another question. Do I have to be... Oh, it is like running away from it.
Yeah, right. It's running away from it. You can't run away from it. Your father's got too many years inside of you, whether you like it or not. The father's inside as much as outside. 50 years inside. There's no escape. Your daughter wants him to come next year. Can the mother listen to the daughter?
Listen?
Listen.
Listen is only to listen, it's not to a boy. It is to be in a dialogue.
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 It would be unfortunate if the mother got a very strong position and behaved like the father, wouldn't it?
I didn't raise her as he raised me. It is very different, I think.
We hope.
Yes, it is very different.
All right, good.
All right, good. I learned how to behave.
All right. I just to say, something a little shifted, that the deeper has to come. And there may or may not be any change with your father, but you don't understand him. You do not understand him. And when you understand him, in the same way you understand small, angry children, when you understand him, this issue will be over. At the moment, you don't understand him. So, and then withdrawal.
It is right.
It's right, of course it is. Said with some modesty.
I came because I want help with treating it.
And I really appreciate your interest. It's a very common dynamic in the family, the family constellation, as we say. And it's going to take some reflection, in which you kind of forget yourself as the daughter. And what do I need to understand why a person has some need to put somebody else down? What's going on? What do I need to understand and be clear about? So it's not taken personally. You've got to forget the daughter.
But I understand. I understand what you're saying.
And just in the same way as a good therapist can listen to a client, and the client says, oh, I get really angry, I'm constantly putting down my children, etc. You've got to listen in that kind of way. You've got, in other words, you've got to be an adult and grow up and not be a daughter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Couple of quiet minutes together. At the end, I'll give a short reflection. But, Yes, anyone, anytime. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very welcome.
There is something that really bothers me.
Please, yes.
In the East, and
you're okay. Are you okay with the recording?
Yeah. Okay. In the Buddhist tradition,
yeah.
If you really want to go in the past,
yes,
you go and you become a monk. And the question is, how problematic it is,
yeah,
to be a householder. I mean, to have a family, to love some woman or children specifically,
yeah,
and still going in the past.
Yeah.
And isn't it a contradiction?
Yeah, yeah.
To choose somebody, to love him,
yeah,
better than other person.
With regard to the first, can you hear all right at the back? You doing all right? Okay, thanks. First part of the question. It's definitely one of the many very weak, pathetically weak links in the Buddhist tradition. And it's a view that's been going on for 2,600 years. It's brutally patriarchal. You have to become a monk. Well, that makes it a problem for half the population already. And it's a failure of the tradition to the contemporary tradition to understand the tremendous steps that have been made by women and men over the centuries, and especially the last two or three generations. And that shift is a really important one. So, I'll be brief as possible with you. In the tradition of India at the time of the Buddha, there was a very strong caste system. Very strong. And families were very tight together and very little freedom of movement. And even today, for every woman on the streets of India, there'd be 100 men. It hasn't changed that much. But we, our culture and society, have, I feel, made some real steps forward, and there is much more fluidity. So that includes with family, and it includes travel, it includes going on retreats, it includes deep spiritual exploration. So the old division, as you pointed out, householders and monks and nuns, was the old division. I don't think it's necessary nor important at this time. And having the privilege of knowing both worlds, ex-monk in Thailand, India, and father, single father, daughter, have moved back and forwards between the two. But the climate and the culture that we live in, I would say, makes it genuinely possible for a life of love to be at the heart of it, and liberation, regardless of the role. father, mother, monk, nun, householder, voluntary homeless, all an equal opportunity is there in the time that we live in. It's an old echo that the tradition still carries, especially in Buddhist countries.
So another small question.
Yeah.
How can you use the practice to help you get better in this intimate relationships? It's a big question.
I'll avoid it. I will respond. Since I feel the love and the liberation are two elements of the same thing, the best of humanity, these two. So sometimes it's really challenged. Our love is really challenged. The open, warm lady speaking just before you. It's an important voice because others, you know, will know her voice very well with the difficulty with a parent. And it's a challenge to our love. That's what it's a challenge to. It's a challenge to our love. It's a challenge to our freedom and sense of liberation to be with another who is extremely difficult. Our practice is about facing up to those challenges. That's our practice. So, would you like to say a little bit about your love life? and intimacy, and are you currently in relationship?
Yes, I am.
You are? Yeah. So, what's the benefits of the intimacy of the relationship for you? I may ask.
It makes me bounded, and sometimes I fear that.
Bound in a nice way or tied?
It's weird. It's sometimes frightening.
Yeah.
And I just want to go and like have a dream of being a monk. And
so when the you sound like Gautama. He was in a relationship with Yashodhara, weak old child, and he had the dream, you know, get me out of here. There's a long history of men running away from responsibility. As many women know very well. So there's the intimacy and there is the love. And then sometimes there's some difficulty there. And if we feel tied or bound to, then the thought or the fantasy, you know, the monk, the yogi, the cave, the jungle, the desert, the saint, all those funny ideas, they but clearly you haven't shaved your head, so at the moment you're not taking notice of this.
She wouldn't let me shave.
She wouldn't shave that, you hadn't shaved her. All right. So, what's the most precious and loving thing about relationship? What comes in terms of the love coming through? What do you love about the relationship? Is she in the room, by the way? She might be. No. The poor woman can have some extra sensations. Anyway, go on. What do you love about the relationship? What touches you in connection with the good lady?
It feels good to give.
It feels good to give?
Yeah.
Wonderful. It feels good to give. One of our lovely poets, whose name I forget, said, in a relationship, if one is more loving than the other, may I be the one who is more loving. Beautiful. Wow. Beautiful. Rumi would like that. May I be the one who is more loving. This is precious. There. So one is the opportunity to give. And clearly in any role, monk or householder, there's opportunity to give. Anything else that you love and appreciate about the relationship?
You don't feel alone.
You don't feel alone?
Less.
All right, okay. So the sense of connection and belonging there. But sometimes, of course, we're happy to be alone. So at the moment, you're alone here. She's not in the hall. Did she encourage you to come? Or did you say, I need to go on a retreat, I need a little time for alone? How did you end up here and she's there?
Well, she understood that.
Oh.
I've been doing that for a few years.
Oh, so she appreciates.
She understood.
Oh, nice. Okay, sure. To be understood is the best. All right, so she understands. What's most difficult about being in the relationship?
It's sometimes I get hurt.
You get hurt? Due to? Because?
Rejection.
All right. So there's the love and the giving, which is precious. The connectedness and the feeling of two people belonging, which is beautiful, there. And there's some vulnerability around being rejected.
Yeah.
What kind of voice is the rejecting voice? It's one of the most difficult voices, again, coming back to the good lady who was speaking before. It's extremely difficult to deal with the voice of rejection from another. It's one of the things that really challenges in the heart. What helps you to stay steady, even when she's upset with you, or angry, or whatever? What helps you to stay steady? Otherwise, the more rejection, the bigger that appeal for the monk.
I feel like if I can get through it, so it somehow expand my heart.
Fantastic. All right. You said it.
But
work with this and move with it and get through it, it will expand the heart.
Yeah, but, wow. But it easy to say.
Yes. You could even say to your lovely lover, thank you for rejecting me because it's helping me to expand my heart. It's a challenge. When the feeling will come, unpleasant feeling, it will come. The hurt, one feels a bit hurt. Whatever. What's the pattern immediately after? So some people, it will to hurt back. So they've grabbed, you've hurt me, you've said something cruel, and then we say, well, I remember when you, and then we want to hurt back. Yeah? Some people withdraw.
Yes, that's what I do.
All right. You hurt me so much, and now I'm pulling away from you. Could be short time, it could be ending the relationship, could be not talking again, whatever, the pulling away. So one is attacking, and one is defense, pulling away, withdrawing.
there.
Is there a middle way between these two extremes? Attacking and defending, pulling away from? What's an alternative?
I guess it's better to try to talk about it.
All right. Sometimes, of course, the person can be so angry they can't and do not want to hear that we want to talk about it. Then what? You want to talk about it and the person doesn't want to listen. The person's made up their mind already.
Yeah, it's happened and it's not easy.
No. All right. So it happens and it's not easy. So sometimes when the heat, this fire, the fire of blame, as they say, the hardest thing to deal with for human beings is the blame from others. The hardest thing to deal with. And that's our practice must work with that. Afterwards, hopefully, when the heat has gone, the fire has gone out, or it's cooler, there may be some opportunity for some communication. If you carry it around with you, oh, she hurt me, it makes it extremely difficult to communicate, because one's carrying. So the period after, it might be the next day or days afterwards, there may be some, as we say in English, window of opportunity for some communicating.
And sometimes I imagine like love is like a small baby, which is very fragile, and he cannot endure a lot of pain and heat, and every injury causes to him can make him be crippled.
I tend to, if I may take.
Is it right or it's just in my head?
In your head. love, authentic love, can endure anything. That's the character of love. What can't endure things is the ego. Love can endure anything. And it has incredible power to it. It's the mature response to a situation. But the ego, that's another ball game. And teachings and practices are around love and liberation. And really looking at the times when we feel hurt, like you said, but what do we do with it? Does love get forgotten? Even in spite of being hurt, can love stay steady? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Minute two quiet period, and then another invitation. Anyone, anytime? Yeah, please come. Yeah. With the recording?
Yeah.
Right? No.
Okay. It's one question, but with two...
One question?
Two issues, I
think. All right. Yeah, sure.
I'm wondering how to feel freedom within the expectations of society. The more I grow, the more I feel that I need to be a certain thing, and like a certain way my life is supposed to be at my age.
Yes.
And the older I get, the worse it feels not to be what I'm expected. And then I feel it gets harder to take the freedom to go inside, like what I'm doing now, because career and family and things are supposed to be achieved. And there's constant feeling of getting there and failure. And I just want to feel like I feel now.
All right. Nice to hear. And let me ask a little bit about the expectations and what kind of expectations go in your direction. And the obvious question, you mentioned about age, how old are you?
32.
So the what are the expectations that society puts on you?
It's easy to answer because after the Seder, we are very much in touch with the expectations.
All right. What happened? Got me more curious. Anything said over the lovely happy evening?
It doesn't have to be said. I feel it. As you said, it's 50 years for her to be with her father. For me, it's 32 years to know what they know, what they need from me.
All right.
So I'm supposed to be married and to have children and to be stable in my life, which I'm not.
So, when the voice comes over, it's that is from the parents. Either sometimes said it's and somewhat unspoken but implied. And you hear it, those voices of authority. Do you take it seriously? Do you put pressure on yourself? Do you go into the world of I should by now?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, I even don't hear it from them anymore.
No.
I just feel, I hear it from inside, and I feel very much like... Disappointed, yeah.
The society. Is there, are there any other expectations outside of that that come to you? Sometimes it's around work, money, future.
All of them. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They come in all directions. There. What's wonderful and precious about not being married and not having kids?
I know I'm going to miss it. I know.
Miss what?
The period which is now, but I cannot enjoy it now because I need to get there. But it is wonderful because I have the freedom.
Exactly.
I don't feel the freedom. That's my question. How to feel this freedom, whatever my situation is.
As you said, it needs to look and dig rather deeply inside. Freedom for its support requires, again, forms of love, expressions of love. And one of them is appreciation and gratitude. And that you have to bring out of your heart full on. Full on. So that these merciless voices around, the parental voices, the society voices, the authority voices, the nightmare of the religious voices, all of those, they exert terrible pressure on people, robbing people of their own natural freedom. And it's going to take something to really listen well and deeply, because that is the act of love and respect for yourself.
So when you say appreciation, you mean...
Yeah, appreciation for what is, rather than the longing or the pressure about what should be. This gap is a nightmare. It never gets bridged. You get what you want in one area, and a new gap will come, and a new one. Because the gap hasn't ended. So, having heard the pressure, society and family and all of that, which, as you say, can take away the freedom to be alive, to be human, mm-hmm. to enjoy life, to appreciate. Tell us a few things which you really appreciate and are grateful for in your life.
Actually, lately I've been appreciating life itself, because I've been through a very difficult time, and
yes.
waking up in the morning and feeling quite well, it's heaven.
Ah.
But there are moments like that.
All right.
It's not all the
no,
time.
No, no, good. All right. Those moments are the moments of a liberated awareness.
Exactly.
This is bringing heaven down to earth. There. So sometimes, as you say, you can go through a hard time, make the journey through that, and then the appreciation is not personal. It's not, oh, what I can do and how I am, but it carries a wider dimension. Appreciation for life, precious, precious one. So even sometimes when the personal dynamics are going on, parents, society, their heart's big enough, you will have a much bigger sense. And the appreciation. So what is it with life? What sort of things are you appreciating with life?
The beauty. I can sometimes
see
beauty in everything. And friendship.
Yeah.
Like human connections, love. Healing, being able to heal and to be healed.
Yes. Nice. These areas, to see beauty is love. So sometimes we see the beauty of the imam in the valley, reminding us to listen. It's been the most popular pop song for about 1500 years. It's nice. Never get tired of it. And the beauty of the flower, the beauty of the man, the woman, the beauty of the environment, all matter very deeply. Yeah. And the small everyday features of life. Which is more important to, love life, or to be a very pleasing daughter and member of society?
While I'm sitting here, of course, I can see what is the most important
All
thing
right.
for me. But
Good.
There...
All right. So Because the very first sentences that you said, and very precious ones, about the importance of freedom in life, it's a fact, of course, and it's a principle. And sometimes we really need those voices around us. So, good friendship, like you mentioned, which is very precious. Healing and contributing to healing is very precious. And all of that is the voice of kindness. It's the voice of friendship, the voice of love. So, hang out, please, as much as possible with those who have a love of the things that you are talking about. And frankly, with society. It long since lost its way. And we have to find friendship and love and service and connectedness and all those things that you value. And what may come, may come. It takes some trust. These retreats, as much as there are people coming on retreats, they are what I call a PFA, Partner Forming Agency. I've lost count of the number of partners that have been formed on these retreats. You never know what might happen before Wednesday or Thursday.
I feel the real freedom is not to seek it. That's
exactly,
where I want
precious.
To be. That's where I want
it.
To be. To be relaxed about life as it is.
Beautiful. You all that's precious. You just stay completely true to that.
I know where I want to get.
No, that's it. Where it is. Stay. It's already. Yes, so to stay true to life as it is. As it is, right now. Yeah. And you stay true to that. And then just to see what, as I say, unfolds from that.
Yeah.
Stay true to it. And remember, when the parents are saying something, or society, or whatever, there's always a huge amount of space between our ears. Infinite, actually. Stay true to something.
Thank you.
Thank you. A couple of quiet minutes and I'll just give a short reflection. Sometimes we enter into environments such as this, and important areas of exploration and inquiry take place. And sometimes in the threads of things, one area that we need to give attention to in our life, and that's the area around identity. and much emphasis is given to all of us around identity. But from a Dharma perspective, one is endeavoring to look in a fresh way. So easy can happen. Family situations, working life, friendship life, the sense of identity builds up. And it carries with it memory. There can't be an identity without memory. And unfortunately, it can happen that identity and the memory get stronger and stronger. And then, of course, the identity means a relationship with another who has an identity as well. And love is often hindered by identity. Identity can get in the way of. And if we're going to explore love, if we're going to put it into the fire of some situations, it will mean that we have to hold the sense of identity very lightly. Identity is the first inquiry of the daughter. And it isn't easy to let go of that identity. And correspondingly, it lets go of the identity of the father. Then there may be some possibility to see an unhappy human being with some conflict which it sounds like is being projected. And to hear that, to be able to work and attend to that. And that challenges us. It means that any kind of communication with him or her really needs all our resources at the time to be able to stay steady in the face of something unpleasant, unwelcome, and unwanted. It really tests the metal of love. And we need situations outside of that for renewal, for connection, to be out of that identity, of course, so that we can enter into it with fresh eyes and a fresh presence. It's not unusual, as we heard with the second person, and very, very common one. There's the preciousness of connection with another, of being in a relationship. There are many pressures on partners, obviously. Many pressures on the two people, individually, as well. And when we're feeling under pressure, the role, or the identity, in this case, the lover, the partner, the husband, the wife, when there is some pressure, and it's a bit of a job for us to be able to handle it, what easily and understandably happens is we look for another identity. In this case, it was called the monk. Having lived in a monastery, if you think you have a problem with one person, all I can say, try living with 100, of whom one didn't choose to live with any of them, 365 days a year. One gets a little testing in equanimity and love, I have to say. So if it's just one, be grateful. Liberation is easier. So, just to watch, when under pressure, in all the ways that it comes, when we're having a hard time with it, all too humanly enough, is there an attraction to another identity? There are some situations where it definitely is necessary. Obvious if there's violence. If it's just got numb and dead and is going nowhere, sometimes, of course, change is necessary. When it's too much to bear, then one may have to take real necessary steps to step away from there. But sometimes we are moving away from the difficult situation too quickly. We haven't got the steadiness. The love isn't well established. We can't listen. We've got confused between what the person is saying and what our reaction is. And it's a real practice to work to explore that. The third area as well, and I hear the voice regularly enough, and it is an act of trust, and I have the privilege of speaking with, in this case, many women in their 20s, in their 30s, in their late 30s. And it can be a struggle. There's the struggle from the external. That means the external, meaning friends and family, and why aren't you married? Oh, you haven't got any kids, and time is running out. And all of these voices can exert a lot of pressure. Plus, there can be the biological energies and vitalities which are also going on. So the two is not easy. And it does take some real trust to stay steady there. And for some women that I have the opportunity to speak to, it's parenting and having children and partner is not a priority in their life and do move easily through these years well. And for others, it isn't easy. And we need the good love and support of friends who are not in a kind of muddled, confused kindness, putting any kind of subtle pressure on us, but friends who really can listen, really can support where we are. The identity of being a parent or a non-parent is just not the issue. It's not what it's about. One is no better nor worse off for one or the other. This is all the dynamics of pressure on people. Yeah. You have to listen deeply. We have the sense of friendship, belonging, community, the opportunities to give love, to receive love, and to keep true to it. Life will take care of us, and we will take care of life. It's a painful one, this one. Parenting and non-parenting and the pressures from within and from without. Be mindful of this. Enough said. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming for the inquiry.